First of all, I want to say it's a privilege to be here. It really, truly is. My husband and I are so excited about the things that are happening already. The lost are coming in already. Amen. Right now, we're calling through the phone book, and we're giving every single person an invitation to receive Jesus Christ, and multitudes are saying, yes, Jesus, come into my heart. Amen. And just to give you a little background information, last year we were in New York, and we rented Madison Square Garden for 6 weeks. That was a total miracle. We asked the garden four times. We said, we really need the Madison Square Garden for 6 weeks. They said no. We called them again. They said no. We called them the third time. They said no. We called them a fourth time. They said no. The fifth time, we said, God needs the garden. And guess what they said? They said yes. So we were in the garden for 6 weeks, and in New York, 48,459 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We gave away 250 tons of food and clothing, okay? And what was so awesome was 36 states and 22 countries was part of that harvest. We had people flying from all over the world to help reap a harvest of souls in New York City. And now we're seeing the same thing happen right here in your town. Yes, hallelujah. We've rented the Hirsch Coliseum for 6 weeks. And we're going to be giving away 200 tons of food and clothing here in your town, Shreveport-Bossier. We're believing God for a bigger harvest. We're believing God for a harvest of 100,000. Can I hear a say? All right. And guess what? All of you have a chance to be part of it, okay? And your pastor told me that you folks are already signed up. We're giving away these tickets. I brought more of these tickets if you need more. I want to encourage you to give everyone a ticket that you crossed their path. With these tickets, you can make an eternal difference in someone's life. And when you go through Taco Bell, or when you go to Dillard's and you buy something, or whatever the case may be, carry these tickets with you. Like today, we went out to a restaurant and I left several tickets on the table. So I want to encourage you to leave these tickets, because you know what? When you get to heaven, you're going to have someone tap you on the shoulder. And they're going to say, thank you. And you're going to say, for what? I don't know you. And they're going to say, well, remember you gave me this ticket to the Hirsch Coliseum? Well, me, my husband and family went to the Hirsch, and guess what? We heard the good news, and we said yes to Jesus. So I want to encourage you to hand these tickets out. We have people that have already handed out 1,000 of these. They're good-looking tickets. They'll go really fast. So I want to encourage you. And the children, too, you can give tons of these tickets away to all your friends and make an eternal difference in their lives. So I want to encourage you to do that. Amen? And then, of course, Operation Souls, I just want to remind you to be praying for the 7 people that you wrote down on this card. Not only pray for them, but also bring them and invite them to the Hirsch Coliseum. Amen? Because once again, and guess what? You know, when someone goes to the Hirsch with you and they get saved, guess whose church they're going to want to go to? Yours, exactly. So it will also make a positive impact on your church, okay? So if you don't have one, does everyone have one of these cards right here? Good, okay. Well, be sure, remind yourself to pray for those 7 people. Last but not least, the volunteer postcards. I'm sure everyone got one of these. Did y'all fill these out? Every one of you, okay? Okay, with the volunteer postcards, we'll be, as soon as those are turned in and we input them, you'll be getting some updates in the mail from us to keep you in tune with what's happening at the Hirsch. Does that sound good enough? All right. Anyways, what I want to share with you about is that it's time to tell them. It's time to tell them. And when I was getting ready for tonight's message, really just an overwhelming compassion came upon me for the lost. And really, whatever city, whatever state we're in, my husband and I, we have the privilege to travel, you know, with Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. And whatever city and whatever state we're in, God always gives us a compassion for the people in that city. Just like when we were in New York, you know, really just a, when I was in a subway station, I just began weeping for the loss. And here, when I was driving around in my car, you know, just the compassion of the Lord came upon me and I began crying for the loss. And really the same thing happened to me tonight when I was getting ready for tonight's message. And, you know, in Psalms 139, it reads that, you know, God, first of all, God knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. He knew you before you were ever even in your mother's womb. And His thoughts of you are more in number than what there is sand on the face of the earth. I mean, if you went to the children's playground or you went to the beach and you scooped up some sand and tried to count each little speck, you'd be doing a lot of counting. And His thoughts of you are more than a number of the sand. Okay? He knows us better than what we know ourselves. What an awesome, loving God we serve. Amen? He loves us so much and He has a plan for every single one of you. Every single one of you, He has an awesome plan for. I mean, that's something to get excited about. Now, bear with me. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He made us. His thoughts are more in number than the pieces of sand on the earth. So, wouldn't you think that the God that we serve knows what we can do and what we can't do? And don't you think that the God who we serve would know where we would find the most enjoyment? You know, He has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Everyone with me, right? Well, in the book of Mark, it reads, and He said unto them, and who are we talking about? When I say He, I'm talking about Him, right? Jesus Christ. And He said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's telling us to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at your neighbor and say, go ye. Now this time say it like you really mean it. Go ye! And really, a lot of people reverse it and say, ye go! Ye go! You know, God's saying, go ye! Tell them I love them! And we're saying, ye go! Okay? You hear me? But anyways, He's telling us to go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you with me? And see, so often we may say, well, you know what? You know what, Pastor? I want to start evangelizing, okay? But you know what? For the next 4 months, I'm really going to get in the Word. I'm really going to study the Word. And then I'll go. Because I don't want to come across as ignorant and unlearned. Well, I got news for you. And I come with good news, okay? In the Bible, when Peter and John were brought forth to the Sadducees and the wouldn't-sees and couldn't-sees and the elders, they looked at them and they marveled. They marveled and said, boy, these gentlemen, they sure do have a lot of boldness. I'm going to read it to you, okay? Because this is awesome. This is powerful. When I heard this, I said, oh, that's good news. Boy, I fit into that picture really well. We're turning, it's in Acts 4:13. Acts 4:13. Here we go. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. So let me tell you, if you feel that, hey, maybe I'm a little ignorant or unlearned, guess what? You're in good company. We're talking about Peter and John here. Hello? Hello? Okay, we're talking about Peter and John. And maybe you're saying, okay, Jennifer, I see where you're coming from. But you know what? I'm not ready just yet, Pastor. Because, you know, I got some things in my life I'm dealing with. And, you know, I don't feel that it's right if I go ye just yet until I deal with some issues in my life. Until I feel I got it all together. Because, you know, gee whiz, I don't want to come across as a hypocrite. Are you with me? Okay, well, let's together, if you have a Bible, let's together turn to 2 Kings 5:1. 2 Kings 5:1. If you have the same Bible as me, it's on page 500. 2 Kings 5:1. Where are you? 2 Kings. All right. 2 Kings 5:1. Gotcha. Here we go. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. Look at your neighbor and say, he was a great man with his master. And honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. Look at your other neighbor and say, he was also a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. Ooh. But wait a second. Doesn't the Bible tell us, wait a second, doesn't it just say here he was a great man with his master? Does it say that? And doesn't it say he was also a mighty man in valor? But now you're telling him he was a leper? Are you with me here? Let me tell you, if you feel that you're not yet ready to go out and share the good news, to go ye because you have things in your life, well, welcome to the club! Welcome to the club! Welcome to the club! We are changing from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. It's not we change, you know, from this to glory, and period, and that's it. We are continuously, constantly changing. And you know what? If you feel that you got it all together and you're like, hallelujah, I have arrived. Uh-oh. You know, they have this saying, if you green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you're rotten. If you're green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you're rotten. And what that's saying is, we're always growing. The things of God are bottomless. They are unlimited. There is no limitation to the things of God. So we are always growing. We're always pressing in for more and more and more and more and more. Lord, purge me. Here I am. Lord, change me. Change me, Lord. And the minute we stop saying change me, the minute we say I have arrived, look out. So what I'm saying is no matter where we are, if you have Jesus Christ on the inside of you, you are ready. You're ready to go ye and shake this city for Jesus. You are ready to be a witness right now. The minute you said yes, Jesus, guess what? You had your testimony. You've got your testimony. Look at your neighbor and say, you've got your testimony. And you know what? Sometimes we might think, well, you know what? My testimony's not powerful. You know, some of us were fortunate and got saved at the age of 7. And our testimony is I used to steal cookies out of the cookie jar. But Jesus came inside of my heart. And now I don't take the cookies out of the cookie jar anymore. So we don't have to have a testimony, you know, where, you know, I came from this walk of life and I was doing this and I was doing that. I mean, that does make a powerful testimony, but you know what else makes a powerful testimony? I was on my way to hell, and Jesus came on the inside of me, and now I'm on my way to heaven! Hallelujah! That's good news! And that's the testimony that if you have Jesus Christ on the inside of you, that's your testimony. Can I hear an amen? Okay, hallelujah. Now here's one, Pastor. Here's one. Well, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but you know, I want to wait and I want to pray until I feel led. Well, first of all, I got good news for you. He's willing that none should perish. He's willing that none should perish. So you know what that means? We can share the gospel with everyone and anyone. Unless their name is none. That's just a joke, okay? And I respect the fact of waiting and praying. Okay? But he tells us to go ye. Wait. The word wait is in the Bible 106 times. The word pray is in the Bible 313 times. But guess how many times the word go is in the Bible? 1,492 times. Let me ask you a question. What point do you think the author of this book was trying to get across? Go! And you know what? It is time to go and tell them. It is time to go and tell them. Every man, woman, and child in here, we need to go and tell them. Go and tell them. Look at your neighbor and say, go and tell them. Let me tell you what happened with me, okay? I was saved, and still am, hallelujah. Yeah. I love God with all my heart. But I wasn't making an impact. I wasn't making an imprint. And I'll tell you why. In 1 Samuel 10:21, I'm going to read it to you, so if you don't want, you don't need to turn there. But 1 Samuel 10:21, when I read this, I couldn't help but to laugh. Because it was like, ooh. Before I read that, let me tell you this. You are anointed and you are equipped. You have the greater one on the inside of you. You are anointed and you are equipped. You are anointed and you are equipped. How old are you? 10. You're anointed and you're equipped. You're anointed and you're equipped. How old are you? 7. Guess what? You're anointed and you're equipped. All of us, the minute we say, yes, Jesus, come into my heart, an equipping takes place. The greater one comes on, resides on the inside of you. How could you not be anointed? How could you not be equipped? We have to yield ourselves to him. But you know what? You're armed and you're dangerous. You are ready, okay? Anyways, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 21 and 22. Let me just give you back a little background information here, okay? The people were like, hey, we want a king, we want a king. I'm gonna really do a quick job paraphrasing it. We want a king, we want a king, we want a king, right? God didn't want them to have a natural man as a king, but they're like, hey, we want a king, we want a king. So God went ahead and anointed Saul to be king. Okay, and I mean, all these awesome things took place. These awesome things took place. These prophets came up to Saul, and they prophesied, and all the things came to pass. Right? Anyway, so Saul is supposed to show up to a meeting, let's say. And I'm going to start with 21, the second part of it. But when they looked for him, he could not be found. So like, where's Saul? You know, hey, where's our king? You know? Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man would yet come back. And the Lord answered, I'm reading up from the Amplified, so if it comes across a little louder, you know why. And the Lord answered, behold, he has hidden himself among the baggage. He has hidden himself among the baggage. Here he is. He's anointed to be king. God anointed him to be king. He's equipped. But where was he? Hiding in the baggage. And see, a lot of us, at least for me, I can speak for myself, okay? Maybe you guys are holier than me, okay? But I had myself hidden among the baggage. My priorities were my husband and I, we had our business. We were doing really, really well. My priority was going shopping, making the money, driving the cars, having the awesome looking house, keeping up with the Joneses. If they got it, I better have it, and mine better be a little bit bigger. Are you with me? At first, let me say this. There's nothing wrong with having good things. I mean, our daddy, I mean, come on. Look at the God we serve, okay? But what I'm saying is these things had me. My priorities were not in order. My priorities were not in order. You know, I went shopping every single weekend. Saturday was my day. I mean, hey, I worked hard. I was working 15 hours. You know, I mean, we were hard workers. We still are, but now we're in a different business. But my priorities were work, 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 so I can spin, shop, shop, shop. I mean, when I walked into the stores, they knew my name. One time I had a lady say, do you work here? Okay, to give you an idea. And you know what? I was hiding myself among the baggage. I love Jesus with all my heart, but I was hiding myself among this baggage. And a lot of times, I mean, we live in America, praise God. We live in America, land of the free. But you know what a lot of us do, Pastor? We go shopping, or we go buy this, but we buy that, and we charge it, and now our credit card debt and our bills are so high that if God called us into full-time ministry, we'd be like, God, what about my creditors? Hello? He's given us a spirit of discipline, but we got to yield to it. You know what I'm saying? And as a faith builder to some of you, my husband and I were over $500,000 in debt. Our overhead alone was $30,000 a month. Okay? I mean, we were making the money, but we were spending it as quick as we made it. Hello? Okay? Anyways, what we did, Pastor, is this is when we lived in West Palm Beach, Florida. We wrote a special check out to the church. And on that check, we wrote debt free. We were sowing seed for us to be debt free. And in less than a year, Pastor, we were $500,000 debt free. Every single bill paid. Every single bill paid. Debt free. Hallelujah. He did it for us. Now let me share something with you, friends, saints. My spending habits changed. You know, I put the credit card in the freezer, if you know what I'm saying, so it could cool off. Okay, so, but anyways, that's a different story. So I just want to encourage you, you know, you can claim your seed. This is a seed for us to be debt-free in Jesus' name, and it works. It works. It works. So for those of you in here that want to become debt-free, it works. It works, because you're not to be slave to the lender. You know, you're to lend to many nations. You're to lend to many nations. People should be coming up to you and saying, hey, you know, I need some money. You know, can you do something for me? Okay? Not you going to others and saying, can you do something for me? But anyways, my priorities changed. And this is how they changed, okay? I cried out to God. I said, God, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll say what you want me to say. Not my will, but your will be done. Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. Here I am, Lord. Change me. Use me, Lord. Use me. I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty for you and the things of God. Oh, God, change me. And he heard that prayer. And radical things began to happen in my life. I went to the mall because I was bored, didn't have anything to do. You know what? I walked in there and it felt completely different. I walked in there and I was like, what am I even doing here? I mean, that desire just, it was gone. And you know, that's exactly what he did. He changed my desires. Now I have his desires on the inside of me. Are you with me here? So look at you. I want you to lift your hands to heaven and say, Lord, I give you full authority to remove all the baggage. Make the things of heaven more real to me than the things of this world. Here I am, Lord. Reprioritize my priorities. Give me a passion for the lost. Here I am, Lord. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Here I am, Lord. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Lord, let the fire of God come upon me and burn the things of this world out of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your fire. Thank you, Lord, for your fire. Thank you, Lord, for your fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Never the same again. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You know, no matter whether you've been saved for a year, a week, a day, 10 years, 22 years, 50 years, you're ready to go. You're ready to go, ye. You are ready to go. Nothing on this earth can you take with you. The only thing that you can take with you is souls. 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 God's heartbeat is souls. When I was in New York, I had the privilege to lead all the evangelism teams and do all the street ministry and teach people. And I walked up to them to give them a flyer to go to the food outreach. I asked them, I said, if you were to die today, do you gentlemen know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven? And the leader of the pack said, well, I know for sure I'd go to hell. And I said, why is that? He said, because I'm a crack kid. You know, started jerking his head back and forth, back and forth. Anyways,
I stood with them, and I escorted them to the food outreach. And God loves him just as much as he loves us. He doesn't love us any more than what he loves him, nor vice versa. And also, God has an awesome plan for Ferret's life. And also, Ferret could have been my brother. Are you with me here? Anyways, I escort the two of them to the food outreach. And so now we're waiting in line, and there's this wall behind us. And, you know, we're all waiting in line for them and others to get their food. Anyways, as I'm just talking to them, you know. And anyways, when I'm talking to him, he went like this against the wall. And I said, hey, are you okay? Are you okay? He said, yeah, it's just that I haven't slept for the last week. I said, why not? He said, I'm afraid if I go to bed, I'll die like four of my friends did the week before. Okay? Anyways, I continued sharing with them, and I shared a simple gospel message with them. Very, very simple. You know, hey, Ferret, we've all missed it. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And also, Ferret, the Bible reads, whosoever, and you're whosoever, right? We all are. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ferret, could I say a prayer for you and your friend? And the two of them said yes. Anyways, 1 minute later, guess what's happening? Both of them are saying, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. That night when I went to bed, I mean, they were on my mind. And I was just thinking, God, you are so good. There's nothing I could have done to save them. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? Jesus told us to go ye and preach the gospel. And I went, and I simply preached the gospel. I did not preach condemnation. Hello? I did not preach my opinion. Hello? I mean, there are people in New York who had joints tucked behind their ears down in a Budweiser. But you know what? I didn't go up to them and say, you know what? You really need to cut that out. You know, you're going to split hell right open. You hear me? Come on now. You know, in Romans 1:16 it reads, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God, not my opinion, not my rules, not condemnation. You know, when I got saved, Pastor, first of all, let me say this. When someone says, Jesus, come into my heart, we are not to judge whether did they really mean that or not. Huh? Did they really? Because let me tell you this. When I asked Jesus to come into my heart, if there was some Christian following me around, they would have said, there's no way that girl's saved. I mean, look at her clothes. I mean, she's wearing them mini, mini, teeny, teeny, tiny skirts. You know what I'm saying? Or look at her. She's drinking. There's no way when she asked Jesus to come into her heart that she got saved. You know what I'm saying? And my goodness, if you start judging people and you start saying, well, did they really mean it or did they not? Gee, I didn't see a tear. I didn't see her quiver. You know what's going to happen if you start doing that? You're going to start wondering, gee, am I really saved? You're going to start doubting your own salvation. Hello? Let me tell you what happened. I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and I still dressed the way that I dressed, and I was still drinking. But let me tell you what happened. One day I was getting ready for work, and I put on this really short black guest skirt and this black guest vest. You know what I'm saying? And I went to walk out the door, and I couldn't. I couldn't. The Holy Ghost was doing his job. And you know what? My whole wardrobe. I got rid of my whole wardrobe. But I didn't need some Christian saying, sister, you better change your clothes that you're wearing. And then another morning, I woke up, I wasn't even partying the night before, I woke up, and we used to have a lot of parties at our house, and, you know, if you drank, whatever my friend's favorite drinks were, I had it. I mean, I had the vodka, the Chivas, I had it all. Anyways, I woke up one morning, and I felt impressed of the Lord. Hello? I felt impressed of the Lord to pour it all out, and I poured every drop out, and since then, never ever touched the stuff. But my point is, I didn't need someone to say, sweetheart, if you're saved, you've got to cut that out. Okay? And like I was saying, in New York, we came across all different walks. You know what I'm saying? And we loved on them. We shared the gospel with them. We didn't preach our opinion. And we saw them get saved left and right, left and right, left and right. You know, we would share the gospel with someone who was down in a Budweiser. And you know what? Sometimes, after they said, Jesus, come in my heart, they poured it out. They didn't need someone telling them. You see what I'm saying? But where am I going with this? I'm going here with this. First of all, it's not us. And our job is not to judge people. Our job is what? To go ye. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And obviously, it's His will that none should perish. It's His will that none should perish. I mean, Jesus did not hang on the cross for only some of us. He's not a respecter of people. That's right. Amen. That's the truth. And that's good news. I'm going to share just a couple other scriptures. You know, in the book of Mark, that's where the gentleman had the legion of demons on the inside of him. And he got set free. I mean, he was in a pretty bad condition. He was naked. He was cutting himself. He was so possessed that chains would not even hold him. Okay? I mean, that's a pretty bad condition. Wouldn't you agree? And the good news is there are no hopeless causes. There's no one too far out there. We are not bigger than Jesus, and no problem here on earth is bigger than Him. Isn't that the truth? For all things are possible, okay, all things. Anyways, so Jesus, this guy gets set free, right? And now he's clothed, he's not only clothed in his physical body, but he's clothed with his spirit, with a sound mind now. He's set free. Anyways, he goes to get in the boat with Jesus. So now he's like, he's all fired up. Oh, hallelujah, I'm set free. Oh, boy, this feels great. He goes to get in the boat with Jesus, and guess what Jesus says? He says, no, you go to Decapolis and go tell them the things that I have done for you. And guess what Decapolis means? 10 cities. This guy was possessed. And you know what religion would like to say? Religion would like to say, hey, you hang with me. Tell you what, you hang with me for 3 years. Don't tell anyone about Jesus, you know, until I feel that you're ready. So you hang with me. I'm going to keep you under my thumb. And I'll let you know when you're ready to start telling people. But guess what? Every single one of you, every single one of you, when you said yes to Jesus, when you said yes to Jesus, that was your testimony. And you are ready. You are ready. And you know what? This is what I wrote this down, okay? Believe it or not, I was in my car getting ready to come here. And the compassion of the Lord just, woo, overwhelmed me. And this is what I felt come upon me. It's time to tell them. Today is the day of salvation. Now, I want you to think for a moment. If on January 1st, 2000, what if that was the day that he would have returned? What if? If that was the day that he returned, how many people in your life how many people in your path, how many friends, how many relatives, how many coworkers, how many next door neighbors would be in hell right now that you could have told, but for whatever reason you didn't. I was at a family reunion, and I was sharing the gospel. Man, and all these people were getting saved. My mom was there, and I'd come up to her, and every time someone got saved, I'd go up to her, and you know, we'd like, oh, wow, praise God, they got saved. Isn't that great? Oh, hallelujah. Anyways, I went up to one person, and this guy had me for dinner. He gave me the third degree. You have no right to be doing this here. This is a family function. What are you doing? And it's none of your business what my, you know, whether I go to heaven or hell. And anyways, so I stopped sharing at the family reunion. You know, I was doing it like one-on-one, or like if there's a couple people here, you know, I'd pop the question, hey, if you were to die, do you know for sure, beyond a shadow of doubt, that you'd go to heaven? Anyways, and despite the fact that people were getting saved, I stopped. Because of that mild persecution. Because of that mild rejection. I let it get the best of me. Anyways, one of the gentlemen at that family reunion, very shortly after that, ended up dying. And I didn't make it to him. That's one of the people I never went up to because I stopped. Are you with me? And fortunately, when I was growing up, I learned to learn from other people's mistakes. I mean, if you came up to me and you said, Jennifer, whatever you do, you know, never do this, or, you know, or whatever the case may be. I learned from other people's mistakes, and I hope that you'll learn from my mistake. I can't go back in time and change that. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that was a family member who died without knowing Jesus, but I had the opportunity to share it, but I didn't. So I hope that you learn from my mistake. Let me share this. Most of the people that we share the gospel with do receive Jesus. In fact, with the phone calls we're making, calling through the phone book, 70% of the people I spoke with said yes to Jesus. That means only 30% said no. When I was at the family reunion, when I shared it with them, they were saying, yeah, Jesus come into my heart. I wish someone would have told me sooner that this is the way, you know, this is the way to heaven. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know there was only one way. Anyways, so most of the people do receive Jesus. But, you know, 70% did, and that means, okay, 30% didn't. But big deal. Big deal. We go on. You know, I thank God that he didn't stop working on my heart because the first 19 years of my life, I didn't serve him. I mean, thank goodness he didn't say, well, this is her 17th year. She still didn't receive Jesus. So you know what? I'm just going to quit. Thank goodness. And I know that may be a silly example, but don't quit. Don't quit. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. How will someone know that you're not ashamed of the gospel? You have to go do something. You have to speak it. Let's turn here together in Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. If you have the same Bible as me, it's on page 1464. Here we go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Well, we could just stop right there. I mean, for someone to know that you're not ashamed of the gospel, you've got to be doing something. I mean, if all of us were standing outside at some big block party, how would somebody know that you're not ashamed of the gospel? And it's not because you're wearing some big Jesus pen. They'll know it from you sharing the gospel with other people. Okay, here's a good example. Like, let's say my husband and I are at your house for some big Christmas party or something, right? Now, my husband's an awesome man of God. I love him so much, okay? This is only an example, okay? If I am ashamed of my husband, right, I'm not going to say, Hey, Centennial, how you doing? If I'm ashamed of my husband, I'm not going to introduce her to my husband. Are you with me here? Okay, she might say, well, is your husband here? Yeah, he's somewhere around here. He's somewhere around here. Oh, boy. Please don't ask me to introduce him, okay? Okay, but for her to know I'm not ashamed of my husband, hey, Centennial, how you doing? Bless you. Hey, this is my husband, Eric. Eric, this is Centennial. And you see what I'm saying? So for someone to know that you're not ashamed of the gospel, there has to be something happening on the exterior for them to know you're not ashamed of the gospel. Are you with me here? Okay? So anyways, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the power of God unto salvation. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The gospel means good news. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Now, you know when you go outside on a really cold day and you exhale and you see your breath? Well, if we could see in the spirit realm and we go up to someone and say, hey, by the way, if you were to die, do you know for sure beyond a shadow of doubt that you'd go to heaven? And then you simply share a simple gospel. Well, you know, hey, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What am I doing right now? Speaking the gospel. And if we could see what's happening, I mean, when I begin to speak that gospel, things change. Things happen. So it's not us. It's not us anyways. And maybe you'll say, well, Jennifer, you know what? All this sounds great, but it's just not in my personality to share the gospel. I'm a very timid person. I'm a very, very shy person. It's not for me. You know, I've been called to only pray. I wasn't called to go. You know, he has different callings on people's lives, and he called me to pray. So I tell you what, you go on out there, you share the gospel, and I'll be here praying for you. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9, it reads, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to read it from the Amplified, so if it comes across louder, you know why. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Ooh. Okay. But of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. I'm going to continue in the King James. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And what's your testimony? You're on your way to hell and now you're on your way to heaven because you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Ooh, afflictions. Did I get a little persecution at that family reunion? I should get excited and rejoice over that. Praise God. What a privilege to get a little persecution for the gospel. Look what he did for me. He hung on a cross openly for me. Affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, not according to our opinion, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Every single one of you have a holy calling on your life. Every single one of you. Every single one of you. There are people in this room that will shake nations. There are people in this room that will shake nations. Not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And he knew you before you were even in your mother's womb. It's time for us to tell them, and I like your t-shirts, reaching the lost at any cost. Reaching the lost at any cost. We can't take anything with us here on this earth. The only thing that really matters is souls. And when you share the gospel with people, you're making an eternal impact. An eternal impact. I mean, what could be more important than making an eternal impact? And really, when I learned how to lead people to the Lord, I mean, I first shared the Jesus with my family. And then from there, my friends. And then from there, my next door neighbors. And then from there, my city. And now I'm here. It's time to make an impact. It's time to leave an imprint. I really like that, what you said. And it's a time for us to reprioritize things in our life, which I believe God's going to do because you asked him to do it. That little prayer that we prayed earlier. And it's time for us to cry out for a passion for souls. Let's all of us stand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.